So let's turn to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4. We're still randomizing on these Sunday mornings at the moment. But the passage that Cynthia read to us from Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Now, I like to think of nice things. Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens and brown paper packages tied up with strings. I like to think of those things. I like to think of the sunshine after the rain, of holidays and relaxation, of Tommy Cooper and Morecambe and Wise. I like to think of England winning the World Cup. I like to think of things that make me smile, things that make me laugh, things that make me feel good. That's what I like. And yet I cannot ignore the fact that this world is full of things that make us cry and break our hearts. There are sinful things and evil and bad things that are around. There's chemical attacks on children. There's stabbings in London. There's ethnic cleansing and racism and injustice. There's terrorist attacks and murder. There are bombs and bullets. There's child abduction and slavery and endless money crimes. And with all those things, we have to ask, where do they come from? Because they are universal. Those things don't just happen from one type of person or one race of people. We find bad, evil, sinful things everywhere, in all kinds of people, in all classes of people, in all nations and people types. You find it in every continent, Asia and Africa and North America and South America and Europe and Australia. There's no exceptions, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So these bad, evil, sinful things, they're universal. Where do they come from, though? Well, Jesus tells us, Mark chapter 7, he said, "What comes out of a person is what makes them unclean." What comes out of a person? For from within, out of our hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a person unclean. And that's what our Master taught, that all these evil, bad things we've mentioned come from within us, out of our fallen human nature, out of our sinful hearts. Hence, our proverb this morning is all about the importance of guarding our heart while we live on planet Earth in our front line. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. It's a famous proverb. We've seen this before. We've often spoken about it, and it's been written about. And if you do Tim Keller's books on Proverbs for your daily readings, The Way of Wisdom, you would have read this on March the 26th. And you'll be able to guess what I'm going to say, because it's all nicked from him, basically. The context of Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 is of bodily parts. The ear is mentioned in verse 20. It matters what we listen to. The mouth is mentioned in verse 24. It matters what we say. Eyes are mentioned in verse 25. It matters what we look at. Feet are mentioned in verse 26. It matters which path we go down. But of all these bodily parts, in verse 23, it says, above all else, guard your heart. That's the topmost thing. And the reason is given, for everything else flows from it. We can think then of the heart, our heart, as the control center of our life. The command center is all important for being aware of what is happening and for directing things that do need to happen. So if a space rocket is launched, then mission control is vital. If there's a big protest march or a big sporting event, then the command center is vital. When aeroplanes are flying around, air traffic control is vital. And our hearts are the control center of our life. Our heart is all important to govern the way we live, the things we say, the way we react, and our very lifestyle. I'm told that there are at least five basic aspects to any individual's life. There's our thought, everyone thinks. There's our feeling, because everyone feels. There's our choice, because everyone chooses. There's our body, we have bodies. And there's our social context and our personal relationships, and everyone has a social context. But the Bible's view is that it's our heart that governs all those things. Everything you do flows from your heart. So it is with our heart that matters, that decides how we feel. Our heart will help us to choose. Our heart will tell us what to do with our body. And our heart will tell us how we relate to others. Our heart matters. Jesus put it this way in Luke chapter 6. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Jesus is saying there in Luke chapter 6 that it's our heart that governs our life, our words, our feelings, our relationships, our lifestyle, our trend of living. Of course, there are outside influences, and we would never deny that. Outside influences play their part. Our environment and our family and our social setting and education, they all influence us one way or another. The town we were born in, the city, the country we live in, our parents, our families, our traditions, they all play a part in making us what we are and what we do. But in Bible psychology, first and foremost, we need to ask, what's the person's heart like? For everything we do flows from the heart. It's our heart that counts. So if we want a good life, and if we want to do the right things, and if we want to please God and be a blessing to people, then we've got to look at this proverb. Guard our hearts. And I'm sure we do want to please God, and we do want to be a blessing to people. So we need to guard our hearts. And we need to guard them against four things. First of all, we need to guard our hearts against various pleasant items. Materialism. There are loads of nice things for us to have in our Western world. Houses and properties and gardens and cars and bikes and furniture, bank accounts and savings accounts and ISAs and electronic and digital gadgets galore and books of all shapes and sizes. And I love them all. They're nice, pleasant things. Nothing wrong with any of those things. And Amazon is ever ready to be our fountain of blessing and provider of all we desire, and we can pray every morning, our Amazon that art in Hemel-Hempstead, give us this day our daily desire. And it does. But Jesus says that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What is in the center of our heart? Is it materialism? Because if materialism occupies our hearts, then we will have a materialistic lifestyle flowing from it. And our decisions and our talks will all be materialistic. And will all be about what we are and what we want and what we're going to buy and what we have. But we're made for more than that. We're made for more than materialism. We're made in God's image, and we're made to reflect Him. So we're given spiritual desires. But materialism can strangle spiritual desires. So don't let your heart shrink to the size of an app on your phone. Rather, let Jesus be king of your heart and watch your soul grow and flourish. So let's guard our hearts against materialism. I speak to myself, as I do in all the rest of these things as well. Let's guard our hearts against various personal interests. Our hobbies and our sport and our fitness regime and the endless opportunities we have for our children to do things. If our hearts are controlled by our own personal interests, then we won't have a life that fully pleases God and blesses people, because it will all be about us. Now, just as in material things, money and possessions and houses, they're not wrong in themselves, but when they take over your heart, they'll direct your life in the wrong direction, so too with hobbies and interests and sport and fitness and the wonderful things our children can do. They're certainly not wrong in themselves, but when they take over your heart, they'll control you. Tim Keller writes this. March the 26th or April the 15th. It's the heart that shapes the actions. In the Bible, the heart is not primarily the seat of the emotions, in contrast to the head as the seat of reason. Rather, the heart is the seat of your deepest trust, your commitments, and your loves, from which everything flows. What the heart most loves and trusts, the mind finds reasonable, the emotions find desirable, and the will finds doable. What Keller is saying in that little paragraph is that it's the heart that directs and controls our reason, desires, and actions. So what we love in our heart, we'll find reasonable in our mind. What we love in our heart, we will desire with our emotions. What we love in our heart will eventually end up doing, because our heart will convince us it's good. So if our hobbies and our interests and our sport and our fitness regime and our children's opportunities are controlling our life, then it will dictate the pace of our life. And our life will soon become all about them. And they'll come before our church and our Bible and our prayer life and our fellowship. And our spiritual life will shrink, and our fellowship will suffer, and eventually these things will disappoint us, because idols always disappoint. So let's guard our hearts, the control center of our lives, from being mastered by our personal interests. Third, let's guard our heart from various public influences. If we want a life that pleases God and blesses people, then we must make sure that the right influence is coming into our life. That there are so many influences around today. Not all of them are wrong, not all of them are bad. There's celebrities and their lifestyle. There's columnists and newspapers and magazines and journals. There's YouTubers and vlogs and expert blogs. There's TED Talks. There's TV personalities and opinion makers. There's adverts. And there's talk radio, where just about anyone can give a shout. Again, all those things are not necessarily bad things or wrong or sinful. But if we only listen to those things and only read those things and only watch those people or pay too much attention to what they're saying, then our hearts and their ideas and their worldviews and opinions and dogma will capture our hearts. And what we'll find is that we'll end up repeating or rewording or reshaping other people's worldviews and values. And our heart will give out what it's taken in. Jesus said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So right at the center of our life, right in the middle of our hearts, we need the right influencer. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 says, Let Christ dwell in your hearts through faith. And that means that all that he is and all that he stands for and all that he values is to be at the control center of our life. Then everything we do will flow from Jesus. And what a blessing we'll be to others, and how pleasing we'll be to God. So who or what then has got our heart? Someone has, something has. Who or what is it? For whatever it is that's got your heart, then your life, your words, your reactions, your values will reflect that person or thing and will be controlled by the person or thing that's got our heart. For church people, there's various poisonous iniquities. I get that because I just wanted to match up the VPIs, you see. Took me a while. You see, for some church people, they're free from the control of materialism. They don't have any hobbies or interests apart from church. And they know their Bibles really well. But there's certain poisonous things right in the center of their hearts. Bitterness can control their hearts. Jealousy can be at the command center. Judgmentalism can occupy the heart. And that urge for revenge can take over. And all those things will poison our souls just as much as materialism and false idols and wrong influences. Now, we need to guard our hearts so that what flows from them pleases God and blesses people. How do we do that then? We've seen four things we need to guard our hearts from, but how do we do it? Well, Tim Keller reckons in his book, worship. It's what we worship most that will be in our hearts the biggest. Keller says that some people try to solve their problems by going straight to the will. Just try harder. Other people try to solve their problems by going straight to their emotions. Buy something and feel better. Other people try to solve their problems by going straight to the mind. Think differently. But the real way to solve your problems and the real way to guard your heart is worship. We need to continually lift our eyes to God in the face of Jesus Christ. And when we turn our eyes on Jesus, the things of the world do grow strangely dim. Think about the Lord. Let the Lord occupy your heart. Worship him. He lives in the beauty of holiness. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Love and faithfulness go before him. He is exalted in power. His works are perfect. He is a faithful God who does no wrong. There's no one holy like him. His wisdom is profound. His power is vast. His grace is sufficient. Isaiah says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard that the Lord is the everlasting God? He's the creator of the ends of the earth, and he will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom." Lift your eyes to God and continually have this spiritual view of God, his divine goodness, beauty, holiness. Let that capture our hearts. And once God has captured the castle of our life, then we will please him endlessly. And we will be such a blessing to people in our family, our church, our community, our college, our school, our uni, our work, and our nation, and our front line. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Let's be quiet before the Lord.